Hello and welcome to BIX is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of BIX Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. I am Albert Haim and this is WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the BIXography website. In the BIX is Alive program, I will play recordings and talk about the music and the life of BIX Beiderbecke. I will also play recordings by other musicians, past and present, who play in a style influenced and or reminiscent of BIX's unique approach to music. In the programs, I will feature various segments. In some instances, I will have a battle of the bands. On other occasions, I will focus on one particular musician or a theme as the centerpiece of the program. At other times, I will simply play recordings that I enjoy. Continuing our celebration of the 100th anniversary of Benny Goodman's birth, I would like to play a number of recordings that Benny Goodman made as a sideman with Red Nichols in 1929. I will start with the two sides by the Louisiana Rhythm Kings. These were recorded on April 23rd, 1929, and they are Bowling the Jack and I'm Walking Through Clover. This is Red Nichols on cornet, Glenn Miller on trombone, Benny Goodman on clarinet, Arthur Schott on piano, and the question has to do with the drummer in this session. According to Rost, it is Vic Burton. But according to Stephen Stroff in his book Redhead, A Chronological Survey of Red Nichols and His Five Pennies, it is Dave Tough. These are indeed Five Pennies, Red Nichols, although the name of the band is the Louisiana Rhythm Kings. We have Five Pennies here, exactly five, but not the original Five Pennies. Benny Goodman replaces Jimmy Dorsey. Glenn Miller replaces Miff Moll. So let's listen then to Benny Goodman with the Louisiana Rhythm Kings, 1929. Thank you. Let's go back a couple of months to February 1st, 1929, and this is Red Nichols and his Five Pennies, but there are many more than Five Pennies in the next two numbers that I want to play, and they are I Never Knew, and then Who's Sorry Now? There's Red Nichols on trumpet, Manny Klein on trumpet, Miff Mole on trombone, although I must say that Steve Stroff says it is Glenn Miller. Dudley Fosdick on mellophone, Benny Goodman on clarinet and alto sax, Arthur Schott on piano, Carl Kress on guitar, Chauncey Morehouse on drums. Now, in I Never Knew, there is no solo by Benny Goodman, but in Who's Sorry Now, there is a pretty good and long solo by Benny Goodman, but playing alto sax. So let's listen then to Benny Goodman with the Red Nichols and his Five Pennies, 1929. Thank you. 4 days later, on February 5th, 1929, Red Nichols and his Five Pennies recorded two numbers, Chinatown, My Chinatown, and On the Alamo. On the Alamo was unissued at this time. It was done again several months later. But first, about Chinatown, My Chinatown, we have Red Nichols on trumpet, Manny Cline on trumpet, according to Ross Mifmol on trombone, but Steve Stroff says it is Glenn Miller. Dudley Fosdick on mellophone, Fud Livingston on clarinet, Benny Goodman on clarinet alto sax, Lenny Hayton on piano and celeste, Carl Kress on guitar, Vic Burton on drums. Here, Benny Goodman plays clarinet and Fud Livingston tenor sax, at least according to Steve Stroff. And the Alamo was recorded again on April 18, 1929. Again, Red Nichols and his Five Pennies, Red Nichols, Leo McConville, and Manny Cline on trumpet, Glenn Miller on trombone, Jack Teagarden, Bill Trohn, or Herb Taylor on trombone, Benny Goodman on clarinet, alto sax, baritone, another alto sax, Babe Russin on tenor sax, Arthur Schott on piano, Carl Kress on guitar, Art Miller on string bass, and Gene Krupa on drums. There is a vocal by Scrappy Lambert. This is April 18, 1929. So let's listen to Benny Goodman with Red Nichols and his Five Pennies, many, many more than Five Pennies, 1929. Thank you. The next two recordings are from the same session as the session where the Red Nichols and his Five Pennies recorded on the Alamo for the second time. This is April 18, 1929, and the two numbers I want to play are Indiana and Dinah. Let me read what Steve Stroff says about this session. The session begins with one of the most exciting and least hackneyed charts, Indiana, which kicks off with a bright, punchy introduction. He gives an example, like an exclamation point at the beginning of a sentence. What cannot be notated, however, is the way Nichols attacks those two opening B-flats, pushing so much air into the horn that they virtually explode in the ear. Note how Miller's mathematical penchant is at work here, balancing the opening octave drop that begins the melody proper and transforming the descending whole tone chords in bar 5 into a natural harmonic progression rather than merely producing out of sync chords that just sound weird. The first chorus continues the punchy trumpet sound, yet complements it with ascending saxophone triplet figures and trombone bell chords. What taste, what balance is evident in this seemingly simple arrangement. A little chord substitution in the banks of the Wabash section gives it tang without upsetting the listener's equilibrium. Then we transpose suddenly and without fuss to G for a superb Goodman clarinet solo, followed by muted Nichols using Armstrong-type rips and by the Beckian balance in his phrase shapes. A guitar break brings us back to BB for Tea Garden solo, then the finale. What makes this record and arrangement so effective, in my view, that's Steven Stroff speaking, is the fact that that Nichols' trumpet solo is used as a resting place or fulcrum for what precedes and follows it. Red was only too aware that he was not the hot player that Goodman, Teagarden, and Rossin were, and probably had some misgivings about fitting into their company. But Miller proved himself, even from this very first session, a master at offsetting different or negative aspects in an otherwise positive arrangement. These were tricks he was to mature, rework, and reuse years later in enhancing the childish vocals of Marion Hutton or the average yet inoffensive tenor sax of Tex Beneke in his own band. Good as Indiana is, however, it seems like a mere warm-up for Dinah. Though this tune is taken at a slower tempo, it doesn't sound slow. What a difference between this and some of those 1928 recordings, for instance, Five Pennies, where the medium slow tempos actually sounded slower than they were. The difference, aside from superior swinging players, is Miller's catchy use of rhythmic devices. In the four-bar intro, for example, note how he combines a rim shot from Krupa with the staccato chords of the trumpets in the first two bars, then also how his own second trombone fools the ear into thinking it is in perfect sync with Teagarden, while in fact it alternates between harmonizing thirds and fourths and counterpoint. Again, the actual performance contains felicities that cannot be notated. For instance, that Miller's trombone is considerably softer than Teagarden's, and that he offsets Jack's full but blunt tone with mellow legato playing, using the slide to climb up and fall back from notes. Well, let's listen to all this then. This is Benny Goodman with Red Nichols and his Five Pennies, 1929. Thank you. Want to move now to September 9, 1929. This is the last recording session of Benny Goodman with Red Nichols, and I'd like to play two numbers recorded on that day: Nobody Knows and Smiles. We have Red Nichols, Mickey Bloom and Tommy Thonen on trumpet, Jack Teagarden, Glenn Miller, Bill Trohn on trombone, Benny Goodman, Jimmy Dorsey on clarinet, alto sax, Rube Bloom on piano, Tommy Fellini on banjo, Joe Tarto on brass bass, Dave Toff on drums, and both numbers feature a vocal by Scrappy Lambert. So let's listen then to Benny Goodman with Red Nichols, 1929.
Being by my own. lonesome. I want somebody to hug, cuddle and snug as comfy as a bug in a rug. Many's the time I feel like swooning, but nobody knows and nobody cares. I guess I'll make out a little ad that I want some loving so bad, 'cause nobody knows and nobody seems to care.
Thank you.
I forgot to mention that Benny Goodman and Jimmy Dorsey, a year later, with Big Spiderbeck and his orchestra, played together again. All right, let's wind up this program. And what I want to do is do a bit of an excursion into 1930. This is July 2nd, 1930. Red Nichols and his Five Pennies, many more than five. Red Nichols, Ruby Weinstein and Charlie Teagarden on trumpet, Jack Teagarden, Glenn Miller on trombone, Benny Goodman on clarinet, Sid Stoneburn on alto sax, Babe Rossin on tenor sax, Joe Sullivan on piano, Track Brown on banjo, Art Miller on string bass, Gene Krupa on drums. And I'll play two numbers from that recording session of July 2nd, 1930, Peg of My Heart and China Boy. Steve Stroff says, this 13-piece Five Pennies outfit might have boded badly in 1930 for any consistent jazz content. But for some reason, Nichols was able to give Miller his head and allow him to come up with three rather nice arrangements. Peg of My Heart is the least well-known of the three, and in a sense it is probably the most conventional, despite some good solos. China Boy features an out-of-tempo intro and coda by Jack Teagarden, more good solos, particularly by Goodman, and some nice touches such as a brass crescendo in the opening theme, which is quintessential Miller. One thing that I want to mention is that in several of the recordings of Red Nichols in 1929 and 1930, he has an arrangement that is used, or a structure, I should say, that is used by contemporaneous bands that play traditional jazz. Basically, they have at the beginning an ensemble presentation of the tune, and then several of the musicians in the band take solos one after the other, and finally at the end the band comes together and plays as ensemble again. I must admit that this is not something that I find very appealing. It seems to me to be just formula. It's always the same thing. Ensemble, solos, ensemble. Anyway, let's listen then to Benny Goodman with Red Nichols and his Many More Than Five Pennies in 1930. Thank you. Well, I hope you have enjoyed these programs of recordings by Benny Goodman as a sideman. And I may have another one at a later time. Well, let's get back to Biggs now. We have come to the end of today's edition of Biggs is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Biggs Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. Please join me again in 4 weeks over WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Biggsography website, for a new edition of the program. Until next time, this is Albert Haim saying, through his music, Biggs is alive. If you contend, this